All right. Call the House Transportation meeting to order. It is March 12, 2011, and it is 1:45. And the following members are present: Representative Johnson, Representative Peterson, Representative Grunberg, and myself, Representative Wilson. And I'd like to recognize the staff today. Nancy Hemingway is our House Recording Secretary. And Sammy is our LIO monitor, and Becky Rooney is my committee aide. So before we start to turn, please turn off your cell phones. And we're going to hear two bills today: House Bill 57, the bicycle bill, and House Bill 62, which changes the vehicle rental taxes. Now, we have adopted a CS on House Bill 57 last time we heard this bill, and it's version B. So, Rep. Seaton, would you come forward and review your bill for us?
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 57, the CS added safety to that, just so that it was very clear that there would be safety programs both for motorists and bicyclists could be included in the use of those grants. Of course, this establishes a grant program that would be through the Department of Transportation, and so local the localities, either municipalities or nonprofits in those municipalities, could make application for grants. And those grants, of course, the priorities, what it's doing is encouraging the safe use of bicycles and bicycling as a mode of transportation. Whether the people in the community felt that bike racks and bike garages, things that would allow bikes to be stored and taken off the street, if that's what their community needs, or if their community needs bike trailers so that people could actually use their bikes for the mode of transportation to go to the store and safely bring things back home. It's an alternative for vehicle use. And so, Madam Chair, I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Seeing no questions. Last time we heard this bill, I did not close public testimony. So is there anyone? Well, I'll tell you what. Does the department want to add anything? I see shaking heads back there. Okay. Is there anyone that wants to testify on this bill? Is there anyone online that would like to testify?
I have a question.
Okay. Okay. Representative Grunberg?
Last, to the chair, from the folks from the department, if they could come up and so I could ask a question. Thank you, Madam Chair. Is that okay?
I guess so.
Thank you.
May I ask, is the other gentleman also from the department?
Yes, he is.
Do you want both people up there?
I would if you don't. Could I please? I should have passed you.
Yes, you should have. Okay. Would you please state your name and affiliation?
Right, Madam Chair. I'm Jeff Lottison, Director of Program Development at Department of Transportation.
Bob Laurie, Transportation Planner 1, Bicycle Pedestrian Coordinator for DOT.
Okay, we have two gentlemen from DOT here, if you would like to ask your question now.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My apologies. I'm learning, but slowly. Mr. Laurie, I think the question is for you. Last year when we did this, we did an amendment dealing with education, and I just want to be sure that the current version meets what we talked about last.
I think it does. I think it through the chair. I think it does meet, and probably a little bit better. I think, if I remember correctly, and I'm going on.
My memory isn't very good either.
I think we had determined that, or had decided that we didn't need the language at that time. I think this just makes it much more clear and straightforward by having that language.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That was just, I wanted that on the record.
And if you would state your name, because so they know which one of you is talking.
Bob Laurie.
Okay. Thank you. And let the record show that Representative Feige and Representative Pruitt have joined us. Seeing no other questions, thank you, gentlemen. There is a fiscal note. It's a zero fiscal note. And is there a motion to move House Bill 57, Version B, from committee as amended with zero fiscal note?
is it?
Version B. House Bill 57, the CS for House Bill 57, Version B.
I move that to be passed the CS for House Bill Version 57, Version B, out of and with fiscal note.
Notes.
Notes and individual recommendations out of committee.
Okay. Hearing no objections, so moved. Okay, let's have a brief at ease and while we sign the papers. The next thing on our agenda is House Bill 62. The last time we heard this bill, we only got a very brief introduction, and now I would like to have the sponsor give us a detailed introduction to the bill, and Representative Holmes and Mike, if you would like to please come forward and explain your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Lindsay Holmes, representative from House District 26. Madam Chair and members of the committee, thank you so much for hearing this bill again today. With your permission, I'm actually going to turn the microphone over to Mike Coombe from my office, who will walk you through the bill.
I'm sure I object. I think the sponsor should.
I could.
I'll remove my objection.
I actually could.
Well, in that case, well, this.
And then that's no fun.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, Mike, if you would go forward and tell us about the bill.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Mike Coombe, staff for Representative Holmes. I'm here today to present House Bill 62, a bill that will exempt motorcycle rentals from the 10% passenger vehicle rental tax. To be clear, this bill relates only to taxes on motorcycle rentals and has nothing to do with sales, import, registration, or anything else related to motorcycles or to taxes. It covers only those taxes related to motorcycle rentals. Supporting the long-range economic benefits of small Alaska businesses catering to independent travelers is what House Bill 62 is all about. The people who rent these motorcycles visit small businesses in remote parts of the Alaska road system. They stay at smaller hotels and bed and breakfasts and eat at local restaurants, which is all good for the economy. Making an exception for seasonal rental businesses is not new. When the original law was put in place, another seasonal rental business, the rental of motorhomes, was given a lower tax rate of 3% because of the seasonal nature of that business. The shortness of our summers here in Alaska means that motorcycle rental businesses have a limited time period to make all of their income for the year. They pay to keep their motorcycles in storage during the winter, increasing their costs. The price they are required to charge for motorcycle rentals in order to make a profit becomes much more difficult case to make to potential renters when a 10% tax is added to the total. In 2003, when the legislature passed the passenger vehicle rental tax, motorcycle rentals had not been considered. No mention of motorcycles or motorcycle rentals was made in any of the hearings on that legislation. It wasn't until 4 years later that the Department of Revenue discovered the existence of a motorcycle rental business and then notified the handful of motorcycle rental businesses they found in the state that this 10% tax would now be collected. In the years since passage of the car rental tax, the legislature exempted other vehicle rentals that had inadvertently fallen under the definition of passenger vehicle, including taxi cabs, rental trucks, and warranty work replacement vehicles provided by auto dealers. The seasonal nature of the business, the high costs associated with these businesses, the low number of these businesses, and hence the small amount of tax collected, as well as the need to encourage just exactly this type of economic activity in Alaska, are all reasons that motorcycle rentals need to be excluded from the passenger vehicle rental tax. And I'll note, Madam Chair, that the committee has a copy of a proposed amendment to the bill that would add an immediate effective date.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much. Any questions by anyone in the committee? Representative Gruenberg.
Just one comment, Madam Chair. If the members would look at this, I think the sponsor statement, final line in the second paragraph, I'm just going to quote, "It is difficult to cook a meal in one's motorcycle."
Madam Chair, I find a sense of humor helps in this building.
Very true statement.
I've got to say that I have visited the House of Harley. I am one of these wannabes, not for a Harley, but for a motor scooter. And they don't rent motor scooters, and it's impossible to even get a test drive on a motor scooter because insurance doesn't cover it. So I'm all for the bill, and particularly if the guys at, and gals over at the House of Harley or any would consider renting a motor scooter, I'd like that too.
Well, Madam Chair, if I may, I believe they may be online. You may get the chance to ask them directly.
I already did. They turned me down flat.
And if you notice the fiscal note that they only collected $12,000 all across the state, and that's hardly enough to even make it worthwhile collecting. And so, seeing no more, you have a question, Representative Pruitt?
So, RVs are only 3%. Do we know what cars are?
Through the chair, Representative Pruitt, the 10% is the okay. The automobile.
That's for the automobile. So, but we've got RVs, which we rent significantly more of in the summer, at 3%. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I just say, remember tax credit discussion here in about a week, and AC is some other legislation in front of us. That's all.
Okay, Representative Johnson.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I suggest we reject the fiscal note for a spelling error. But other than that,
okay, we do have some people online, so I'm going to open up testimony, and we have Nancy Hull, Alaska Motorcycle Adventure. Nancy, are you online?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Chair Wilson.
Go ahead.
Can I go ahead with my testimony?
Please.
Thank you, and members of the committee, for allowing me to testify today. And thank you to Representative Holmes and staff members for introducing House Bill 62. For the record, my name is Nancy Hull. That's H-U-L-L. I'm the owner of Alaska Motorcycle Adventures, and we're located in Palmer, Alaska. We've been renting motorcycles since 1994, so 2011 will be our 18th summer providing a great service to Alaskan tourists that could choose to go elsewhere if it were not for the availability of our motorcycle rentals. Our customers generally have a big bucket list of places on the globe they want to ride, and it'd be real easy for them to pass on this location and just take another one off the list. In 2003, when the Alaska legislature passed House Bill 271, the vehicle rental tax, there really wasn't any discussion of the rental businesses, so they really didn't discuss our rate structure and how we generate the tourism dollars in Alaska and the remote locations and the benefits of that. Therefore, from 2004 to 2009, we didn't pay the tax. We didn't collect it from our customers. And I mean this very literally. In 2008, a Department of Revenue employee was driving on Spinard Road, saw the storefront of one of the motorcycle rental companies, and soon after we were contacted by Department of Revenue and told to start collecting the 10% vehicle rental tax, and that was without any idea of our rate structure. So I'm going to go through just a typical rental. Our rates generally run from about $125 to $240 per day. So we will take an average day of $200 just to make the math simple. The tax on that $200 day is actually $20 for the day. On a seven-day rental, the tax for that one customer is $140, so that's $140 for 1 week. Put that same amount on a motorhome at 3% on a $200 day, that's $6 for the day, or $42 for the week. So you got $140 versus $42. Now let's take that cruise ship passenger. Last year they reduced the tax on, or the head tax for them on a 7-day cruise, which is very typical. They would pay just $34.50 for their 7 days. When you compare that amount to the amount my customer is paying at $140, It's significantly higher, almost four times as high. One final example I want to give you in how high the tax rate is for our customers. Last year I had a couple rent two motorcycles for 11 days. That is a long rental, two bikes. It was lovely. That couple paid $386 in vehicle rental tax. There's no cap to limit the excessive nature of it, so we need to somehow handle those types of things too. As you can see from our rate structure, the vehicle rental tax is extremely high when it's applied to those 14-day rentals, or, you know, 6, 12, 14-day rentals. I also want to reiterate what Senator Holmes and Mike said about the remote economies. Our customers do get to these remote areas like Chicken, Weissman, the Tangle River area, Gracious House in the Denali Highway, Paxson, Eagle, and it's a very long list. We specifically design their itineraries. They like being in those remote locations. And those businesses in those real remote locations, they're going to rarely see an RV, and they're almost never going to see a cruise ship passenger. So we put those people out in those remote locations. They need hotels. They need meals. Like you said, they can't fix a meal on their motorcycle. So I think there, without any discussion of our rate structure and just the fact that they didn't understand or no one knew that we existed at the time, we just were quietly doing our thing, putting customers into remote economies, making money for the state of Alaska. And we would just ask you to consider eliminating that tax so that our customers continue to come to Alaska. We put those dollars into the remote economies, and I really thank you for hearing me today. And if you have any questions, I would be glad to answer any questions for you.
Good. So, again, what's the average charge per day without the tax?
Without the tax, we probably, on an average, we are around $180 to $200 per day.
Okay, thank you.
Our rental business.
Right. Okay, thank you very much. Representative Peterson has a question for you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This $180 to $200 a day, would that include insurance coverage, or would the riders or renters be providing their own insurance coverage?
No, those for my business, I do include the insurance rate or the insurance per day. But you bring up a very good point. If I could add one more thing, to answer your question, the insurance is included in my rates. However, there are no exemptions from the tax because we weren't included in the law. So in the original law, which means that that insurance would be taxed also, as well as other things. Now, the RV rentals, they have exemptions on things like car seats, GPSs, dishes, sheets, towels, and our customers also have things that they add on. Sometimes they add on helmets, riding suits, GPSs, cell phones, those types of things. So all of that is rolled into the rental. We have no exemptions. The law allows us no exemptions at this point. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
And when someone rents a motorcycle from you, the helmet's not included, or it is included?
Most of them bring their helmets, but the helmet would be an additional charge if they did not bring a helmet with them, and we provide them with a helmet.
Okay.
Or a riding suit or any other item that they might need.
But that's extra.
That is extra, and they pay tax on that.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right. Phil Freeman with Alaska Rider Tours. Yes, Philip, state your name and your affiliation and give us your testimony.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My name is Philip Freeman. I'm from Alaska Rider Tours. Thank you very much for taking us the time to listen to our cause. I'm the business that they came across on Spinard with Rent Motorcycles Here, and it was quite obvious that we weren't ever considered when they did impose the vehicle rental tax. And so 4 years later, when the tax collector was going by and saw Rent Motorcycles, we were obligated to pay back taxes for a bill that we weren't even considered to be a part of. A couple things that are pretty important about our business. I've been at it for 12 years, and I employ 10 people, and I have a fleet of 40 motorcycles. We have the shortest rental season in the world, and we're trying to compete with people that are renting half of our price down in the lower 48. So we're not, we're just trying to make a business, but we're not a big business. But I really hope that you consider our plea, because had we been told about the tax, we definitely would have got together as an industry and tried to do what the motorhomes did and try to get it down, or at least thought about, but we weren't even considered. So it feels like, well, everything happened without any of our input. And I would just wish that you would consider, I think Nancy brought up a very important point, and then most of our clientele are not the normal run-of-the-mill princess hotel type clientele. These people want to go to the end of all the roads. So we've made lots of very good contacts and brought lots of income to Manly Hot Springs, Central, Prudhoe Bay, you name it. And we definitely want to continue to do this. The 10% tax is really tough for us, as you can imagine, especially with 12 weeks to make it or break it. Thank you very much for your time. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Philip, what is your charge for a motorcycle? This is kind of fascinating to me. go ahead.
You can rent a motorcycle that Nancy and I rent down in the United States for about $150, maybe $100. But for us, we're $200, $250.
Okay. Representative Feige has a question for you.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. You kind of know how many days of rental you'll get in your 12-week season, but how much do you think this will allow you to increase those number of days?
Well, we can't increase it just because of the snowfall. I think the bottom line here is the price point. Nancy made a good point. We have people that are doing a bucket list, and they are doing a priced comparison as well. And, you know, our prices are higher than our competitors. And if you tack on 10% to that, you can see that that's not good for business.
Follow up, Representative Feige.
Yeah, what I meant by my question was, say, you know, during your current season now, say you can actually rent that bike for maybe 60% of the time. Do you think you'll be able to rent it for 65 or 70 or 75% of the time we take the tax off?
I think 10% will make it more appealing, yes.
Okay.
Okay. And so did I understand you correctly that they made you pay back taxes?
We wanted to. They called me in. I went into the state tax office. Mind you, we looked into the Anchorage code, and motorcycles are different than what the state recognizes them as. That's how the motorcycles got pushed into the passenger vehicle column. And so with that, the tax got applied on us. I asked please, can we not pay the tax? And they said, that's fine. And they said to me also, frankly, when they did put together this bill, that the lawyers didn't even consider motorcycles. So from that point on, we were obligated to pay the tax.
Okay, fine. Representative Johnson has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I find it interesting that you're competing on a national or global level, and you think the price is key to that. You think people don't come to Alaska because it may be too high a price to rent a motorcycle?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The common comment is, why would I pay twice as much to come to Alaska? And, well, it's the nature of business in Alaska. Most people don't understand the seasonality of it. So, you know, people are price hunting. And they're going to do whatever they can, especially with the economy being tough, to, you know, live their adventure and also come to Alaska. But you know what? They'll put Alaska on the back burner and go somewhere else. All these customers, they can't afford, many of them can afford anywhere, but they are going to be price sensitive, and they're going to go to Patagonia instead, or they're going to go to New Zealand, you know?
Madam Chair, if I could continue.
Follow up, Representative Johnson.
So you think this tax break is going to increase your business and cause more people to come to Alaska?
Definitely.
What kind of promises do you have that that's going to happen?
Well, I'd be happy to keep track and put it on a spreadsheet for you, but really,
you can't really say that you'll guarantee that you'll have more people coming to Alaska because of this tax cut, can you?
I can guarantee that we have been turned down by customers because of this tax.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chairman. And I promise you I'm not picking on you. I'm making another point. I agree that cutting the taxes will, in fact, increase business. And if it's good for motorcycle rentals, it's good for other businesses who are trying to do business in Alaska. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And Representative Peterson has a question for you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to remind the members who were on the trip to the Dalton Highway last year that I was surprised that we came across several groups of motorcycle riders that were headed up to, I assume, the Arctic Ocean. I imagine they wanted to go as far north as they could. And I'm not sure whether they were riding rented motorcycles or not, but I'd say there's a good chance that they probably were. At least some of them were rentals, and so that is probably something that could be advertised as, you know, come and drive to basically the end of the road, which would be the Arctic Circle in Alaska. And that would be probably on some people's bucket list. So hopefully this would encourage more people to come see Alaska.
All right. Thank you, Philip. Barry Mattson.
Hello.
Hi,
Barry. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead and tell us the name of your, or do you have a business? Tell us the name of it.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, my name is Barry Mattison, and I'm with the House of Harley Davidson in Anchorage. And we just started in the motorcycle rental business, and I think most of the points have been covered. Our rates also our base rate is $250 a day. And our customers are used to renting bikes all across America for $95 to $125 a day. And I know that for a fact that we lose a lot of potential renters because of our prices. And it's just they either decide to not come to Alaska because of the high prices, or when they come to Alaska, they will do the standard tour things that are available to them without renting a motorcycle. And I know that if we had lower rates, if we could afford lower rates, we would have more rental customers. But and the tax, of course, just makes it more difficult to buy this service to our customers. In 2010, we had about approximately 200 rental customers, and most of them were from the lower 48. And as the other testimony stated, that they travel around, they're more likely to eat in restaurants and spend nights in hotels, because they don't have a place to cook like on a motorcycle. So we have two seasonal employees for 6 months. We have training. We have to get the fleet ready, and we also have our core employees also work an additional, or they're charged with working an additional 10 to 20 hours a week just to maintain the fleet during the off season. So there's a lot of labor that goes into it. The fleet of Harley-Davidson motorcycles we maintain is 12 to 15 bikes. The average cost of those motorcycles is $17,000 to $20,000. And, of course, we have to start paying interest on that rental fleet as soon as we get them, which is in February and March. And we have to turn them when they reach 18,000 miles. So it's a pretty expensive endeavor for us, and an additional 10% tax on top of all that would probably cause us to just say, well, it's not going to work for us. So I appreciate the opportunity to speak, and if anybody has any questions, I'll be happy to try to answer them.
Okay, thank you, Barry. How many motorcycles do you rent out?
We have a fleet of 12 to 15.
Okay. Okay, seeing no other questions, Representative Johnson has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I don't know if we're finished with testimony, but this seems to be a terribly capital-intensive business, using a very short time period to recover your investment. Is that fairly accurate?
Yeah, we have about, we do like 90% of our business in 3 months, 90% of our rental business.
And you're convinced that this tax break will increase your business?
I'm not convinced that it will increase our business. I'm convinced that without it, we may not have the business.
Well said. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Madison, and actually with some permission from the Chair, I direct my question to anybody who can answer it, who's on the line. Is that okay?
Okay, that's all right.
Do you folks rent vehicles that are only used in the winter time, like snow machines, that would have the same problem?
The House of Harley does not.
How about any of the other businesses on the line?
We do not rent snow machines. We just have the motorcycle rentals for Alaska Motorcycle Adventures.
Okay, thank
what
you.
What about Alaska Rider Tours?
Name is Nancy and Barry.
Okay, all right, thank
probably
you.
Probably a different industry, I guess.
Probably.
Well, I could see they might have the same problem.
We have one more person from Dillingham, Jody Seitz. Seitz. Oh, she was for 57? Oh, okay. Gee, that's too bad. I didn't. Okay. All right, well, is there anyone else online that would like to testify? And seeing no one in the room, we'll close testimony. And any other, we do have an amendment. Would someone like to move the amendment?
I move Amendment 1, which is A.1.
All right. Amendment number 1 has been moved by the Representative Pruitt, and hearing no objection, the amendment has moved.
I don't want to object, but I would like to ask if maybe we could make this retroactive. If in fact someone was charged taxes, I mean, we have quite a record of going back on taxes and making them retroactive. So I'm wondering if anyone's ever paid that tax, if we could make it retroactive and maybe look at that and have it so just throwing that out for discussion.
January 1, 2010.
Well, it probably, see, if you go back to January, since they don't even have it until May, it probably isn't going to make that much difference, to be honest. But,
well, thank you. But we do have a history of retroactivity. And yes. Just if it helps business, I certainly would rather apply it that way than in a different manner.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. We have the amended bill before us, and the amendment does say that the bill would go into effect immediately as soon as the governor signs it. And so we have before us House Bill 62 as amended, and what's the will of the committee? Representative Grunberg.
I'll move the bill with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
So we have House Bill 62 as amended with individual recommendations and the company fiscal note. So having no objection, the bill has moved.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you to the committee.
Okay, thank you. And now, let's see. That's all we have that we were going to do today. And on Thursday, we're going to hear from the Denali Commission and their transportation projects that they have. So I think that'd be very interesting for our committee. And so at 2:22, meeting is adjourned.